Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with our special look at the marketplace on this USDA reporting day. At 11 o'clock this morning, USDA put together four major reports, including a crop production final report that looked like this: harvested acres for corn at 87.4 million with production of 10.780 billion bushels and a yield of 123.4. For soybeans, the harvested acres came in at 76.1 million with production of 3.015 billion bushels and a yield of 39.6. Ending stocks for 2012 and 13, the latest report shows corn at 602 million bushels, soybeans at 135 million, and wheat at 716 million bushels. Off of the report, corn reacted strongly to the upside in the first few minutes of the trade. Let's go ahead and look at the numbers as they stand right now. In Kansas City, March wheat 8.15 up 18 and a half. July 8.32 up 17 and a half. March wheat at the board at 7.66 up 21 and a half. July 7.79 up 18 and three quarters. March corn 7.16 and a quarter, now a half, up 17 and three quarters. July 7.04 and a quarter, up 13 and three quarters. December of 13, 5.85 up 1. January soybeans 14.16 down 1.5. July, March at 13.73 and three quarters, now 74 and a quarter, down 5.5. July 13.57 down 10 and a quarter, and November at 12.69 down 13. Joining us on the phone to talk about the reports is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning again, Mike.
Hey, Dave. Nice to speak with you again.
It seems like it was all stacked up to help corn this morning.
Yeah, and stacked up to help wheat as well. I think both the U.S. ending stocks numbers jived with, because the, both of them received an increase in feed and residual, both of them jived with the grain stocks report. So this is one of those multi-layered reports that you kind of check and double-check and critique whether the numbers jive, and these numbers do jive, and I think that's where you got the bullishness in terms of trade guesses in the, both the U.S. wheat ending stocks and U.S. corn ending stocks. And so you have been able to take March corn above the September 28th low. You've been able to take March wheat above the December 27th low. Both of these levels very crucial to me when it comes to the technicals and how we close this day out.
Let's get under the hood of the quarterly grain stocks report, go a little bit beyond the numbers, the surface numbers that are reported. What did we learn when we delve deeper into the report about where the stocks are and who owns them?
53% are owned by the commercials or off-farm, and that compares with 52% a year ago, Dave. I think the number that the trade was really going to look at was the on-farm, because we have this aflatoxin issue still prevailing in the market mindset of how much did the farmer dump into the commercial's hands. That number came out at 46% compared to 48% on farm storage last year at this time. I actually think that on farm number may be 1 or 2% lower than what today's numbers suggest, but be that as it may, they were friendly numbers from a standpoint that clearly there's about 7% more stocks being held by commercials off farm than what we have on farm when you look at the spread between the two. So that puts the end users on the defensive, I think, Dave, and it goes back to what we talked about this morning. Supply now is falling faster than demand in the corn again.
The other thing that I would be interested in knowing about that quarterly grain stock report is geographically, where are the stocks being held, and does that mean we're going to have to do the hokey-pokey shuffle between now and when the new crop comes online?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think what I'm saying geographic, to answer your question geographically, I think the stocks are most abundant on farm where the ring of fire showers were in August, September, and that would be the Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Minnesota, and part of Iowa area. Where those ring of fire showers hit, yields were better, and producers probably took more of a chance on storing more in the bin, unpriced, so that it's on farm. And so you probably have a pretty big hole or deficiency of on-farm supplies in the direct listening audience area of Will Radio.
turn our attention to the global numbers. What caught your eye there?
Well, I think the global corn number and the global wheat number were not as friendly as you would have wanted to see, and I think that is probably why we haven't seen a bigger reaction to the upside in the wheat and in the corn, is that the global numbers, especially the global wheat number, really didn't move much at all, and it says for both corn and wheat, we have ample supplies.
Came in 176.64. There's really just nothing going on there.
No, that's exactly right, and I think that's where the major exporter supplies are going to be more and more crucial. I think this keeps the trade globally probably fixated on the Paris milling wheat. If it would start to go up, especially with a weaker dollar, if Paris would start to go up, that would indicate that we're going to garner more business, especially given the currency relationship. So Paris is the most likely wheat, in my view, to put the low end first. I think the big number for wheat was U.S. because between the ending stocks number of 716 being about 34, 38 million below the average trade guess, and the winter wheat acreage number of 41.82, both of those numbers say we have a tighter supply, and the acreage number, in fact, says we have a bigger problem with the drought because we have smaller winter wheat acres, especially hard red winter wheat acres. And so if you took this number at face value as far as the U.S. ending stocks and the acreage for wheat, I would think that the weather player would start to come back in and that the weather and the 6 to 10 day models would start to play more of a role as we get past today's close. And the 10-day models on the afternoon updates here just a little bit ago say we have nothing for the southern plains to give you for the next 10 days. That puts us at the last full week of January for replenishment of moisture. So we're getting pretty significant, and we're running out of time in the southern plains. And I hope that today's report kind of exemplifies that and puts more of a spotlight on that.
And then on the global oilseed ending stocks number 66.57 on the production side, USDA taking a far bigger swing at it in Brazil than many people thought at 1.5 million bushels. Many people were thinking just one, but they came back and took a half a million from Argentina, so they got the net one.
Yeah, actually took a full million off Argentina. I think that was a pretty much an equating, offsetting issue. I think really what the trade is working off of right now, Dave, as they go through the numbers in more detail, is did we offset bearish weather in South America and the fact that the north central provinces are getting ample rains to finish out their crop? And the answer immediately right after the report was no. That 135 U.S. carryover, you and I talked about that. We went up 5 million bushels, and that was on a production increase, and that was not looked upon favorably because we had an actual increase in carryover. If you look under the hood more, the exports for the United States remained unchanged today. I think that's a mistake by USDA. Global ending stocks actually went down for both oil seeds and soybeans on today's report versus last month. And interesting to note, the main reason that was because China's crushing number went up. That took the total crushing number for the globe up. We also saw a bigger export number. So reading these soybean numbers globally says to me we have not done anything to ration demand. So there must be ample supplies out there to meet that demand. And I think maybe as we get closer to the end of this week and early next week, the trade will look deeper into these numbers and maybe see the same thing. Key right now is November beans need to hold that 1260 low, 1259, 1260 low on a closing basis, or the charts look really, really tough.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Lugolo of Global Commodity Analytics, and that is today's special look at this morning's USDA reports. The time is 12:29.